to Vegas Circle with Pocky and Chris. And today, joining the circle with us, we're excited to have a businessman that's involved in multiple industries. He's the CEO of Matchstick Media, the president of Skylab. He's also the associate broker with his family's company, Willis Property Management. And he's the VP of Legacy Sports USA. Today, we actually brought him on to talk about the launching of a new platform called Free Space, Mr. John Willis. So thanks for joining the circle, brother. Good to see you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
The first thing I got to say is, you know, I appreciate a mutual friend of ours, Dean Gray, that was able to connect us. And we were able to have dinner actually last month when you were in Vegas.
Yep.
Which was great, man. And so, you know, last month we touched on censorship a little bit, obviously on social media and some of the posts being deleted. With your platform, Free Space, what would make you guys different, you know, from other platforms?
We are definitely walking into the lion's den when it comes to launching a new social platform. We design Free Space to be a platform that's safe for parents, for children, for anybody that wants to come on to have an experience, to engage one with another, to enjoy a what we call a gamified social platform. But we've also designed it in a way where you can have good, old school, healthy debates without the fear of algorithms or ideological censorship. And so with Free Space, I want to make sure that everyone understands that what we are creating is not going to be an echo chamber type of platform. This is a platform for everybody, no matter what ideological part of the spectrum that you sit on. You know, we want everyone to enjoy it. And, you know, we've designed it in a way where when you get onto the app, it's very aesthetically pleasing. We have a lot of really neat features that we've built in that are unique to us that most social platforms don't have or don't offer. And we've really designed it to be a social platform with a heart. A few months ago, Netflix came out with a documentary called The Social Dilemma. And with The Social Dilemma, you know, we've seen how social media is designed to be addictive in a way. And there's also a lot of nefarious things that are designed with the code and with the algorithms to keep people on the site longer. And so what we have done is we've designed Free Space in a way to counterbalance what big tech has designed with their platforms. So we go in there with a very unique technology that we designed called VRS, which stands for Virtual Reward Systems. What that means is when you first log onto the app, there's certain action buttons that you could choose before you post anything or start looking at an activity wall or watching one of our video channels that we have. You can go and track an activity that you just did. So for instance, we have random or acts of kindness. It's a button that you can choose, and there's a list of things that you can choose to do during the day or that you have accomplished during the day. Like I paid it forward, or I helped somebody, or I donated money to a charity, or whatever it is. You push that action, it records it on your wall. It displays a picture or a GIF or whatever it is, or you can actually take a selfie of you doing something, and then it automatically records it. But on the flip side, as you continue doing these random acts of kindness or whatever action that we have on there, our app tracks that and rewards you with badges. So if you come from the gaming background, from, you know, Xbox or PlayStation, as you achieve certain levels within a game or certain accomplishments, you earn a badge. We have that within our app. And with our app's ad platform that we have built into it, sponsors are actually able to reward our users that are consistent in doing these life activities or these action activities. And we've done this on several other apps where we have several case studies that we've involved children, you know, with cheerleading, for instance, where we're able to engage kids who are exercising every day or tracking, you know, random habits that they're doing by making their bed, cleaning their room, that type of thing. And what's interesting is when you look at the analytics of that particular cheer app that we have, you have girls that are 1,200, 1,100 days consistent. They haven't missed a day in 1,100 days.
That's crazy.
That's unheard of. And so what we've designed this to be an engaging app to bring in a much higher engagement than you would just see laying in your bed, ignoring your spouse or your significant other as you're scrolling on your wall, just saying, oh yeah, she still has it. Oh, he got fat, you know, like, or, you know, I'm going to block that or whatever. It's a little bit more intense than that. And so we're really excited about Free Space because honestly, it couldn't have come at a better time for us. And we know that We are definitely, as I said at the forefront, we are definitely walking into the lion's den because of what big tech has done just in the past week. I mean, we have seen big tech do some pretty insane things, even to the point of completely shutting down Parler, to the point where AWS shut them down. And so, believe me, that's been an ongoing conversation with us for the past week. Yeah, I need to get some sleep, that's for sure.
So it's funny that you bring that up, because one thing that always appealed to me was that kind of gamification, as you call it, and just to do the right thing. You know, back when I was in school, I always thought if they made this more game-friendly or statistic-oriented, I probably would have performed much better. Yeah. Because there's something that's trackable and like in your face. And I think to make the positive change that you guys are, it sounds like you're going to be able to do with the platform, by gamifying, it makes it much more accessible and I think more likely to happen. But as you're doing that, kind of what challenges, you know, with any social media platform, as you see these alternative ones start to grow, people start to manipulate it for their own personal benefit. Kind of what are you guys doing to strategically place the platform in a way that you're not going to be, you know, manipulated into doing somebody else's bidding?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, we're too flipping busy to be nefarious, you know. I just, like, do I really want to be a Bond villain? I don't think so. My kids take up too much of my time for me to come up with some nefarious code that's gonna, you know, completely change the old outcome of an election or whatever it may be. But, you know, what we have done, we have designed this in a way, at least with, you know, one of the biggest issues that's been in the news this week is moderation. Yeah. How are these social media apps moderating their content? Okay. Yeah. Now, Parler is not a multi-billion dollar company that has the ability to have artificial intelligence like Facebook does to focus in on certain users that they feel are risk and flag them and then automatically just shadow ban them or do that's a whole nother story for me, because I'm currently serving two bans right now. my two stints in Facebook jail. I don't know if you can get shivved in Facebook jail, but I hope not. So, you know, it's when you look at the whole moderation system that we've built it in a way where, yes, if there's questionable content. Now, let me back up. We're using common sense, okay? Hate speech or, you know, anything like that, for some reason, has now become subjective, like extremely subjective. So if I say I love Trump, that's now considered hate speech. Or if I say marriage is between a man and a woman, that's considered extremist hate speech. What we are doing here is we're saying, okay, well, with our moderation, when someone reports it, we will be able to see, okay, what was the comment? And we will use common sense saying, okay, is this really hate speech? Or is this somebody that's a little too overly sensitive to whatever the post was? If it flat out says, hey, we're going to go out there, string people up, or we're going to go slit people's throats, or we're going to go cut heads off, or we're going to go shoot these politicians in a firing squad, guess what? Your post is coming down, because that's wrong. Think of it this way. I played sports growing up. You have a football field. On the football field, you have out of bounds lines, and you have the 100 plus yards to work with. And if you go over that line, guess what? You're going to have a penalty, okay? Yeah. Same thing goes, you know, and you can still hit plenty hard on that field, but if you go over that line, there's going to be a penalty assessed to it. So what we have designed with our app is we make it very clear as soon as they log on, here are our rules. You need to abide by these rules or you're gone. And we're not going to allow any extremism or anything like that, because we designed our app to be open to everybody. We want everyone to feel safe. So we don't want any porno pics on the site. You know, we're not going to allow any, you know, exploitation of children, extreme hate speech, extreme racist type comments that are actually racist, not, you know, perceived to be racist. You know, it's just, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Common sense. You said the key word was common sense.
Common sense.
Yeah.
And here's another thing. If you are a serial tattletale where you're literally on there reporting people because you don't like how they think, guess who's tracking it? We are.
Got it.
And you'll be kicked off because you're not here to engage. You're here to really cause trouble and to just report people just like they do on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube or Twitter, it's just like, okay, well, we want to have a transparent audience here. And yeah, we are all here to get along together, to have a healthy debate. You know, like, you may not agree everything I believe in, I don't agree everything you believe in, but we can still respect each other. And if it gets a little heated, so what? At the end of the day, go back to the home screen, scroll all the way up, go to the action buttons, and go do something nice. Go donate to a charity, or, you know, get involved somehow in civic actions. But that,
you guys
that's
are gonna change the game, John. You guys are gonna change the game.
Yeah, I mean, we really just wanted to people to understand that free space, you know, just with like our First Amendment right to have freedom of speech has limits. It does. And it's not full anarchy. We don't want this to be anarchy space where the Klan can have their page and the Black Panthers can have their page and ISIS can have their page. And, you know, whomever else, you know, the crazy, you know, Martians can have their page. I don't know who's
out there. you know,
Jabba the Hutt can have his page. We really want to make sure that people understand when they're coming into this, that they are coming into an app that's based on heart, mm-hmm, respect, and making great changes for the world. And and I'm not talking from, you know, some, you know, peace, love, dope type of background. It's more like, hey, there's a lot of hatred and division in this world right now. And, you know, there's healthy debate is always a good thing, but there's no such thing as healthy division. And so what we are trying to create is a place where I can feel safe posting pictures of my family, mm-hmm, or I can feel safe posting my opinion without getting a 30-day ban because someone didn't like it. And we've designed this in a way where we feel that we aren't going to be looked at as another echo chamber type of app that's out there. And because we're not. We want Democrat influencers. We want liberal influencers. We want conservative influencers. We want regular influencers that do makeup and fashion and shoes and whatever else that is, you can be influenced on, hunting, fishing, whatever. You know, everyone's welcome. And that's what we're creating.
A couple of quick questions for you. I know when we talked last month, so this is very exciting because obviously there's so many layers to free space, right? You know, you got so many moving pieces that you guys have. When will it actually launch? When will you guys be putting this out?
Very, very, very soon. With everything going on in the world right now,
sure,
we know that once we're out, we're going to spike.
Yeah, of course.
We're getting prepared.
You want to have the bandwidth. Want to have the bandwidth to be able to.
There's nothing more embarrassing than getting on the ball field.
100%.
Starting to feel that little rumbly in your stomach, and you're like, "Whoa!" You know, we don't want that to happen when we do the rollout, where we launch, and all of a sudden, hey, crashes. Your server crashed.
Yeah,
that's embarrassing. You know,
you guys got some great people behind you too, which is great. But you know, one thing I wanted to ask you, because obviously a lot of the other social media sites, a lot of the algorithms and things like that, I would think a lot of people that are driving traffic as these influencers and things like that, they're going to be able to make more money because of the fact that, you know, your Facebooks and your Instagrams, a lot of these things are silenced for them to be able to drive traffic to themselves. Is that kind of a pitch for you guys too, where it's like, look, come to us because you're going to make more money in so many words, because a lot of the marketers that are out there and people like that want to advertise and drive traffic and the data mining and all of that?
Yeah, I mean, I come from an influencer background. I mean, besides the whole laundry list of things you said at the beginning, you know, I have a following of several hundred thousand people, and I used to be monetized on Facebook, making very good money each month that my wife quickly took to Target and Nordstrom's, which is good. That's what it's for. That's why I did it. Post stupid videos, get paid for it. All good. Yeah. But a lot of these influencers have been demonetized on all these platforms, and this is their livelihood. And so they've had to be very creative on how do we make money, you know, even setting up swag stores and all that. And so we will have a monetization plan very soon for our platform, because, you know, we do have an ad platform built into the app, which most social media apps don't have that aren't the, you know, the big four or five. You know, we do have an ad platform, and it's a multi-tiered ad platform. And so because of that ad revenue coming in, of course, we want to reward our influencers that are driving traffic, that are driving the engagement, that are helping people earn badges and such.
kind of what all goes into building a social media platform. You know, on the basis of it, people would assume that it's not that complicated. But as you dig into a little bit and you start talking about the algorithms associated with it, you know, the app development that needs to take place, the coding and all of these back-end things that you may not even necessarily think of until you start going through the building out process and realizing, well, wait, maybe we forgot about this or maybe we forgot about that. And you kind of have to restructure the code to add it in there. Like what, how long does that process take to build a social media platform?
So the first step is you find a really big cinder block wall. The second step is to start banging your head against it.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And the third step is once you've done that, do it again for about 3 years. And that is how you build a social media platform.
Yeah, that sounds like a joke, man.
Yeah. So one of the companies that I am the president of is a company called Skylab, and we build white label social platforms for tribes, in a sense, for influencers, for brands, for music artists, you know, for really anybody that wants to have total brand control of their brand. So for instance, if Carrie Underwood, if she wants to have not be so reliant on big tech, or as the phrase that we use is, she doesn't want to build a house on rented land. She wants to have her own house on her own land. She would come to our Skylab company and we would be able to build her own social platform filled with live streaming, video streaming, encrypted chat, you know, activity walls, gamification, all these incredible features that we have, as well as the ad platforms and such. We're able to do that, and we're able to turn that around in sometimes, you know, definitely less than a month. Average time is a week or two, depending on how extensive of the build out is, but we're able to actually do start to finish in less than a month and get it on the
app. Still fast. So, that's still extremely fast job to be able to move that around. And guys, for our listeners that remember Skylab, you know, Dean Gray, we had on the show before, a great guy, great mind. How did you connect with Dean to be able to, you know, to partner with him on Skylab?
So I own a digital marketing agency, and it was actually the day after my birthday. I had a meeting in Fort Lauderdale. It was actually a video shoot with a former UFC champ, Vitor Belfort. And I was there with one of my business partners, a guy named Jakub Boyens, who's actually one of the world leaders in fighting child sex trafficking. And that's another topic for another day. But Yaku's like, hey, if you're going to Dallas tomorrow, you need to go meet with Dean. We office out of the same building, and their office is in Frisco, right where the Cowboys train. And so funny story, though, with the Cowboys, their team shop now sells Dak Prescott crutches, which is pretty amazing. You know, it comes with a boot. So anyways,
I can tell you exactly if that's a legit statement, because that would be interesting.
It's not, but yeah, it's pretty bad when they have more people on the IR than they do on the field. So,
That's jacked up.
Yeah. Anyways, Dak, if you're watching, hey, welcome. So I go and meet with Dean, and he's like, yeah, Dean needs some help with marketing to roll out what he has. And Yaku was like, I don't really know how to explain what he does, but you'll figure it out. So I go and meet with Dean, and we met for probably 2 hours at his office. And he went over the whole thing with me, and I left that meeting going, what? I like drinking the ocean. I mean, there was so much information thrown at me. So he's like, yeah, put a marketing plan together. And I said, okay, I'm just going to tell you this right now. I'm not going to have a marketing plan for you right away. There is so much information you just threw at me. Send me whatever you have and I'll digest it. My team will digest it and we'll go from there. And so a week or two goes by, I finally get back to him, and it was more with a business plan idea than actually, you know, a marketing plan. And so at the time I actually had a creative director that was from New York, from Madison Street. And he came up with this idea, and I looked at him like, no, that's not it at all. That's not the play to do. And so I started just talking to Dean more and more, and we ended up becoming really good buddies. I flew out to Dallas a couple more times, and about a month ago, he's like, okay, I'd like you to be president of the company. And I'm like, all right, let's do it. And so since then, we have merged our companies. And so Skylab has acquired my digital marketing agency. And so now, you know, with all the clients that we have coming in the Skylab, we will be able to service their apps by driving traffic for app downloads. So think of it like Skylab. If you need an app design, or if you need this social media ecosystem designed for your brand, that's the Lamborghini that you're getting. And Matchstick would be the fuel that delivers, you know, to get your Lamborghini where it needs to go. You know, with Skylab, it basically creates these value accelerating platforms. And so if you have a brand, you know, that's worth X amount of dollars, and then you add an app on top of it that has 100,000 or 500,000 active users on it with an active ad platform, when you go to exit your company, you have that asset on your books.
Huge.
You just made some more money.
Yes.
And so what's really cool about what we do at Skylab is we give people the opportunity. They can either license the platform, or they can actually have the opportunity to buy the source code. And so we actually give them the opportunity to buy the source code for a certain dollar amount. So then that actually becomes an asset on their balance sheet. That app becomes a full asset on their balance sheet. So it's a massive value accelerator. And if it were me, every business should be taking advantage of this. In any business that has a brand that has a national following, that can actually grow. One other affinity group that we have found that does really well with this platform are churches. Churches, especially during the whole COVID fiasco, where people like in California, where it's illegal to go to church now, we call that communism. It's illegal to go to church or to have these massive followings. And so these churches have been live streaming their services.
Yeah.
What's really sad is that big tech has censored a lot of these live streams. And so these churches are having their pages shut down. They're unable to do video streaming. And so what I've been able to do with the network that I have with some of our partners, been working with a lot of these churches to show, hey, here you can have your whole service. You can have all your sermons in like a Netflix style video layout. You can have, different groups, groups for men, groups for women, groups for kids, so on and so forth, groups for, divorced people that need those support groups. You can have all that in the app. And it is specific. It's specific to your church. One of the groups that has utilized our services is Promise Keepers, which is a well-known men's organization. Yeah. So if you go to the App Store and you download the Promise Keepers app, they are using our platform.
John, you're involved in so much stuff, which is pretty cool, man.
I don't have time for that.
Yeah. It's a busy man.
No, and to top it off, I've got 4 kids under the age of 6.
Oh, wow.
And I don't drink coffee. So
I got to ask you this, John. Before I go back to a Matchstick question, how in the world do you do this with being married and having 4 kids? I have 2, and I don't know how you do it. I really don't.
So growing up, I was a horrible student. I tested high on the IQ test and all that. And my parents were always very frustrated with me because they knew how smart I was. And I'm not saying I'm smart, but I'm just saying like they knew how smart I was, but my grades did not reflect that because frankly, I didn't care about school. And it was funny, years after the fact, I've actually become friends with my old elementary school teachers. My 3rd grade elementary school teacher in particular, he owns a restaurant, a Greek restaurant where I live. And I don't like Greek food, but I went and visited him and he says, what? I loved you. He still remembered me as a student. He goes, why I loved you so much as a student? And I said, why? He goes, because you were so flipping smart in class that you were bored out of your mind. And so that's why you acted out in class because you already knew everything. And so years later, I have ADHD, do I take medication for it? No. What I have done is I have learned how to harness my ADHD by multitasking and being able to compartmentalize all the different things that I have to do. So I can work on Matchstick. And then if my mind changes, I'm immediately on Skylab, but I make sure that everything is still getting done. Yeah. And it's been a process. And my background before I got into marketing and all that was commercial real estate and land development. And it was always interesting to see how my dad, who was very just you know, hey, we do it like this. And then there's me that's, you know, just jumping all around. Hey, let's try this. Hey, let's try that.
Yeah.
And he couldn't figure out how I can be successful, but I knew what I was doing. You know, I was just, to him, he just sees me jumping all over the place. But for me, it's like, no, I have to jump all over the place because my brain is going, mm-hmm. yeah, my brain's going 10,000 miles an hour. Yeah. And if I don't keep up with it, then I'm lost. Yeah. But I also found that the best thing I've ever done in my business career was hire an assistant that can keep up with me. And she is amazing. She lives on the other side of the country. She lives in Georgia. I live in Arizona. And she has been amazing. And she's one of the few people that can keep up with the madness that is me. So,
and I can't let you pass with Matchstick, because you've been very successful with Matchstick, obviously with being what you've seen with Skylabs. You know, who have you enjoyed working with Matchstick? I know you guys drive a lot of traffic. I know you work with a lot of successful people, different industries. Who have you enjoyed the most?
You know, we've got a wide array of clientele. I personally like working with nonprofits. My biggest issue is fighting child sex trafficking. I mean, if that's not everybody's biggest issue, it should be because of how rampant it is. And so, you know, I'm involved with four different charities.
Yeah. Are you connected with Tim Ballard also?
So I've met Tim. And I know his sister who does all of their marketing. I've done stuff with OUR in the past, but I predominantly work with Jakub Boyens with his charity called Share Together. And then Craig Sawman Sawyer, his is Vets for Child Rescue. Sawman was a SEAL Team 6 DevGru Navy SEAL sniper, and he just hunts cartel all day long. The guy's a stud. He literally goes to the border and hunts the cartel. I mean,
no joke.
Some people hunt deer. He hunts bad guys, and that's awesome. And then Peter Belfour, his is a Together for Them. You know, his sister was kidnapped, trafficked, and murdered. And so, you know, that's a big thing. But one of the coolest charities that I'm a part of is one called Face Forward. And it's probably one of the funnest one I've done projects for.
Yeah.
So it's made up of a bunch of Beverly Hills plastic surgeons, plastic surgeons and dentists. And they do full facial reconstructive surgery on sex trafficking survivors. So little girls, women who have been trafficked for years, whose faces are all beaten up. They actually do pro bono full facial reconstructive surgery. One of the guys they actually did work on, his name is Andreas. He lives in England. He was a victim of mistaken identity. Guy knocks on his door thinking it was another house, and threw sulfuric acid and completely melted his face. Wow. And so, I mean, his face is completely gone. And I think he's had probably 11 or 12 surgeries on it by these surgeons. Damn. And he still has a perfect head of hair. But like, I think last time I saw him, he had a huge afro. But yeah, his face just looks like, you know, like your typical burn victim. But yeah, what that charity has done has been amazing. So from a marketing standpoint, it's always been great for me to say, hey, you know, I personally built their website. Or I personally help with this campaign.
Yeah.
You know, I always tell my friend Jakub Boyens, you know, I always say, hey, if what I do, no matter how minuscule it is, can save one kid, totally worth it.
I watched Tim Ballard's The Operation Underground Railroad, and honestly, that kind of warped my mind a little bit, just because it's just so sickening. Yeah, it made me sick to my stomach. So what did you learn, you know, from what you've seen, you know, and what can you share for our listeners? I mean, because it's everywhere, man. Obviously, we live in Vegas. It's huge for that. But
people don't realize that trafficking is happening in their own neighborhoods. Like, literally, no matter where you go in this country, trafficking is everywhere. And it is a multi-billion dollar industry. And most people think trafficking is just kidnapping the kids and sending them south of the border. It's not the case. It's kidnapping the kids and maybe having them on the other side of town. Or, you know, these kids become slaves. And it is absolutely sickening when you know that the average age of a trafficking victim is 2 years old. Two. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Man.
And so, you know, for me, I'm a father of four. I've got a six-year-old, I've got three-year-old twins, and I've got a 19-month-old. Yeah. And to know that there are kids that are that age that are dealing with this, dude, it lights a fire in me like none other. And how these guys like Tim Ballard and such can hold back and not flip and kill these guys that are kidnapping these kids is beyond me.
Yeah, I don't even have words. I can't even respond because I'm, like I said, I mean, I watched the show and I was crying, man. So I can't even imagine what it's like when you're, or not a show, it's a documentary, but I can't even imagine what the real life, that was just on TV. So unbelievable.
Yeah, it's been insane. And, you know, just kind of going back to Free Space, if you go to Free Space, when it launches, you'll notice a donate button. The charities that we have on there, there are 5 anti-trafficking charities that we have on there because we want people to know.
Yeah.
Because, and I want to make this very clear, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube have never, ever denounced child sex trafficking. And their platforms.
I never knew that.
Yeah. And their platforms are the number one source or their number one way to actually get kids to be trafficked because they coerce them online. You know, they reach out to them. They chat with them. They stalk them online. And Twitter, none of them have ever spoken out against it. And what's really sad and what it's actually really pathetic in my mind is these big tech companies, when I go post an ad for an anti-trafficking organization, guess what happens to my ad? It's automatically rejected.
Yeah, it's blocked.
Yeah, because they say it's a issue of national importance, and so they will not allow the ad to be run. Sex trafficking, you would think that's something that everybody can agree on, and yet they always deny those ads. And so we have to be creative on how do we run ads in a way that's not going to be shut down by big tech.
I'm excited to see what you guys can do with Free Space. I mean, not just from the money aspect, but you guys are going to be changing people's lives. And that's why we wanted to give you the platform. In a positive way. I'm sorry, Chris. Yeah, you're 100% right. And that's why we wanted to give you the platform to just talk and speak. And, you know, you've got a great mind. And it's just unbelievable, man. It's upsetting in a way, you know, especially with the child trafficking stuff. I mean, that's I'm not as involved as you are, but I just know that, you know, I would want to support it, donate it. So, you know, it's just crazy. It's
yeah, and I really think, you know, if people can get anything out of today's interview, especially with what we're talking about with Free Space and what we can offer in with Skylab and such, we want to get things back to the way they used to be before everything became so polarizing, before everything became so offensive, where everybody was offended by a simple hello. You know, I say, hello, ma'am. Well, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by ma'am? What are you talking about? You know, the world has gone so flipping goofy over the past 10 years to the point where we have forgot what it's like to be civil with one another, to have respect for one another. You know, I have plenty of friends that are on the opposite political spectrum than me. I don't agree with them on anything, but I love them because, you know, we are all children of God, whether you believe in God or not. You know, we have that one thing in common. We're all brothers and sisters in some way, shape, or form. I may be that fat, ugly one, but at least I'm your brother, you know? And if we can at least have a little bit of respect, just show a little bit of respect. And then, you know what, let's go do a unifying action. I just kicked your butt in the debate. You can admit that you got beat because I'm going to remind you that I beat you in this debate, but let's go donate to this charity or let's go. Yeah. Well, I do have to say on Free Space, there is a little bit of me in there with my sarcasm because I do have a button. I originally had it called the Social Justice Warrior button. Just as a joke, have it where we have it say, okay, I debated a conservative or I debated a liberal or I trolled.
Oh,
a liberal,
I got you. You
or I trolled a conservative or I got trolled.
Yeah.
You
know, yep.
Just to have a little bit of fun. And then we'll have funny badges that'll go along with it. So we can make it an entertaining. We just want it to be more lighthearted because everyone's just so daggum serious. You know, we forgot what it means to laugh. And so, you know, with Free Space, that's what we want. Is Free Space a political app? No. Does it look like one? We're not trying to make it look political. We want it to be apolitical. We want both sides to be represented, and we want there to be a very strong middle for families, you know, for religion, for anybody that wants to have a place where they can go, they're safe, they don't have to worry about censorship or algorithms. They can come here, post, and just have a good time.
Yeah. It's going to be huge, man. You guys are definitely going to change it. I'm excited to see what you guys are going to be able to do with that, especially in 2021. And it's great timing, you know, with everything and everything that you guys are putting together, you know, it's great minds. What else is on your radar, John? I know you're involved in so much. I mean, one thing I do got to say, you got to just mention briefly, Legacy Sports. I know we talked a little bit about that. Largest training facility could be probably opening up 2022.
That's what we're shooting for,
Can you share just briefly on that? I mean, that's going to be an amazing facility. I know over 200 million facility.
Yep. So, you know, like I said a while ago, my background has been in commercial real estate and land development. I started when I was a senior in high school and grew up in the business with my family. I used to teach real estate school when the market crashed in 2008. As a way to network, I started teaching. Okay. And it's not like the adage on School of Rock where those who can't teach and those who can't teach gym. I didn't want that to be the case with it. So I started teaching, and I had a guy in my class in 2015, big gorilla looking guy. He's used to play for the Anaheim Angels. And he came up to me after class and said, "Hey, we're working on this project. Love to buy you lunch and talk to you about it." And 5 years later, we've broken ground and we are building a $250 million, 320-acre sports park in Mesa, Arizona. It'll be the largest family sports and entertainment park in the nation and I think pretty much in the world. I don't know of anything outside of the U.S. that's this big, but it's pretty much got all sports: soccer, football, rugby, pickleball, sand volleyball, basketball. We have a huge indoor basketball building that has volleyball, basketball. We have an arena, huge esports arena, big concert venue.
Chris, and that's in your line, esports.
Yeah, esports you arena. Told me on esports. Well, anything competitive. See, that'd be my type of spot.
Please don't tell me that you sit home and play Fortnite.
No, I'm more of a League of Legends kind of guy.
Yeah, I don't play video games at all. No, that's all, Chris.
I do play Fortnite as well. I can't
nerd alert.
hey, on a side note, I just read something, which is funny you say that. Elon Musk was talking about that he basically changed the world with playing video games. So I got to shut up, man. If Elon's telling your kids they got to play, you know.
Oh, and that was the biggest change of my life was when I first picked up that video game controller. I think before that, I had no purpose.
How old are you?
32 now.
32. Dude, I remember when my parents got me my first Nintendo Entertainment System.
Oh, wow. Old
school. Back in 1987, I think. 87 or 88.
One of the first things I played, Shooting the Ducks, was one of the first games I've ever played.
Duck Hunt, the Duck Hunt Mario game, the 2-for-1 deal, that was awesome.
It really was.
It's true.
Yeah, but now I look at esports, and if my grandma was alive today and she'd see these kids, she would just say, bless their little heart, because they're so lazy, they pay money to watch other people play video games. And I heard one kid said, well, it's just like you playing, you know, you watching someone play baseball. I said, no, there's a big difference here. That's baseball.
But they make bank, man. That's the part that trips me out. They make bank. You go see them on your free space. You got those guys on free space.
I have my esports fantasy football league. Fantasy esports league.
I can't keep track.
You know, you got a problem if you've got a 17-year-old gamer poster on your wall. Like, oh, this guy's my idol, man.
You guys are funny, man.
Like, dude, you're 40.
Good trip, man. No, John, this is awesome, man. I'm really happy to be able to have you come on, man, and just kind of share, you know, what you got going on. We'll have to have you come back on. We'll have to have you and Dean come back on together later in the year. See you guys share your minds. But what else is on the radar for 2021? Anything else you want to share on there? I know we got free space. We got Matchstick, what you're doing with that. You know, you're doing a lot with child sex trafficking, trying to stop that. I mean, you're doing some great things, man. Anything else you want to share?
2021, it should be an interesting year. I mean, 2020 sure was a curveball for everybody.
Yeah.
I'm proud to say I maintained my weight in 2020. So, which, you know, I stayed at an even fat, you know. But, with 2021, I mean, for me, my life is going to be Skylab and Free Space. One thing that wasn't mentioned is I'm actually the CEO of Free Space. So that interim, because I don't want to be at full time, because once this thing really starts cranking, then people are going to start attacking, and so interim.
Interim.
We're hiring.
You can hire Chris, man. Chris has got that mind, that tech mind. I don't got that. No, that's great.
Yeah, we've got some cool things that are cooking, especially with Skylab on the global economic development front. We got some really cool things that we're working on in Dubai and South Africa and possibly India that we're working on right now.
Huge markets. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just say I've had to renew my passport that I haven't used in 20 years. And it was really disconcerting when I had to take a new photo and I did a side-by-side comparison of the photo I took when I was 18. And the lady goes, "That's you?" And I'm like,
"Sorry."
That was a lot of booster ego.
Yeah.
I said, This is what 12 years of marriage and 4 kids does to you. So
you're a busy guy, bitch. Well, y'all changing the world, John, which is a great thing. Where can people reach you? Can you share some of your social handles and how people will be able to connect with Free Space once it goes live?
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook at John Willis. You can find me on LinkedIn somewhere. I think it's just John Willis at LinkedIn. Yeah. Whatever that handle is. And our website is www.skylab.world. And then if you want to check out our marketing agency, it's www.matchstick.marketing. And, you know, even though we've merged companies, we're still doing marketing. We're still building platforms. We're still doing a lot of really cool things.
So, man, John, that was awesome, man. We literally appreciate it, man. You'll be able to check us out at thevegascircle.com, and we appreciate the time, man. That was great info, man, and a lot to look forward to. So good stuff, man. Happy New Year to you, man.
You too. 702, baby, 702.
There you go. Yep.